Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett, here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You're listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, and today we have Anthony Waldachuk back on. Welcome, Anthony, back to the show.
Well, it's good to be back. How are you doing today?
I am good. Let's talk about Scope Industries. Let's just get right into it.
Right on. Cool. Scope Industries has been around for, better part of, let's see here. Looks like, 81 years. I haven't owned it quite that long, but I've owned it probably about 15 years or so. So it's probably one of the first unlisted stocks that purchased. Symbol is SCPJ, like Sam, Charlie, Paul, John. It used to be listed on the American Stock Exchange under SCP, which, some old-timers might remember, but probably not. It's somewhat illiquid. It probably trades a couple times a week and can do size every once in a while because a lot of old-time holders of this thing. Currently around $200 a share, 185 bid, 200 offered. So it's quote-unquote liquid compared to the previous stocks I've spoken about. That gives it $178 million market cap. Right now it's paying about $5 a year in dividends. That's good for a 2.5% yield. And it's been paying that for the last probably like 4 years, 5 years maybe. One item to note is it has paid back huge returns of capital in the past, though. So, for instance, the CEO, Meyer Luskin, has been the CEO of this thing since 1961. So he's a spry young 93 years old now. And a few years back, he decided to give away a lot of his wealth to UCLA to build a large building, which I think it's the Meyer Luskin Center for Understanding or something like this. Anyway, it's a political science building that he built. And to pay for this, he issued a being the majority shareholder in the stock, issued a $66 dividend in 2010 to fund this. So, imagine
the yield on that?
It would, at the time, it was about $70 a share.
Okay.
So, 90% yield. Okay. I think shareholders are more than happy about that, especially those of us who owned it in an IRA, which I did at the time. So,
and where did they get the cash from?
Cash on hand, plus also they had floated some they had some bank debt too that they had taken on over the years. So, okay. Just to gain back to what this thing originally was, Scope Industry. Scope is actually an acronym for Southern California, Southern California Petroleum Engineering, I believe. It still does own a few oil rigs, gets a nominal amount of money off of that. They don't even report it in the annual report. I'd say that Meyer Luskin is a what might be termed a poor man's Warren Buffett. He's Scope Industries has owned a number of different businesses over the years, beauty schools. He's gone out. There's one larger company out there that's OSI Industries. I think they do like metal detection, security type stuff. He sits on the board of directors there. There's a few other biotechs he's invested in over the years. But one thing that he did invest in that is by and large what the majority of this company is going out and collecting bread waste and converting it into breadcrumbs edible for human consumption, but primarily animal food through a company called Reconserve. So you can find more information on Reconserve. They have a website and tell you exactly what they do. So genius he was, is he went out and was going to bakeries and getting them to pay to take away all their bread waste and stale bread, took it, turned around, made it into animal food and sold that to pig farmers and the like across America. So what ended up happening is they were competing with corn as a food stock. So if you put this, if you like get a, this thing trays alongside spot corn, if you can believe that. So if you go to your Bloomberg, you know, put in a price chart for SCPJ and then also, you know, 1 month corn, you'll notice that it trades lockstep with it. So it, you know, anytime that corn goes up, so does scope, because farmers will now choose their food stuff to pay to feed their animals with. So, I mean, and I wish it really was that simple, but it I think it truly is. Right now they have about 7 manufacturing facilities throughout the U.S.
Say that again? They have how many?
17 okay. manufacturing facilities throughout the U.S. now. So it's this scope industries is primarily a, you know, a breadcrumb into animal food manufacturer now, almost solely now. They do have one facility in Vernon, California, under the name of Top Notch Foods. And that's Top Notch is the company that makes the breadcrumbs for human consumption. The other 17 make animal food. So by and large, you know, corn prices have been low here for the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, what with, you know, U.S. government trying to encourage ethanol production, so on and so forth. You're seeing corn prices rise over the last year or so. The share price actually has gone up from, you know, the low 100s up to 200 here. So it's
so two questions. How are you valuing it right now?
It's basically for years I valued it as an asset play. The last 2 years they've lost money. So it's, you know, it hasn't, it's not really, you know, a large amount of cash. They've been able to just about come in a little bit less than break even. So it's been kind of a little bit of a, you know, they keep their costs down. Meyer Luskin is probably one of the cheap people that you'll meet in your life. so he does, he's very good at keeping costs under control. So like I said, they have been able to, you know, pay out a $5 dividend the last couple of years, but, we are seeing, the tide turn, if you will. It does seem like, corn prices are going up, and as a result, the value of the company and what they produce is rising as well. So it's, you know, somewhat, I guess it's become somewhat boring, unfortunately, but, as far as like they try to depreciate the, as soon as they take anything on, whether it be, you know, they depreciate the heck out of any CapEx, they, any debt that they take on, they've taken, you know, they've had to take on a little bit of debt to expand their business out to 17 facilities. They pay that down through, through cash flow. So, you know, it's,
Is it producing any cash right now? Is there any cash flow to this company?
It's nothing on the order of free cash flow. It's, you know, operations are profitable, but once you take out other expenses, it's, you know, it does.
A lot of noise in the background on your end.
Oh, okay. The last 2 years have been, haven't been spectacular, shall I say. So it is kind of a wait and see. The main operator of this is right-hand man is Rita Hamid, who's been, I think he's probably been running this thing for a better part of 10-15 years.
And I assume he'll be the successor.
He probably will be the successor to Meyer. Meyer's still very, he's even at, you know, 93, he's still writing the annual report, and he's still knee deep in this business. So
he writes letters. He writes letters to
Oh, yeah. No, it's usually a one pager because if you were two pager would mean having to pay for double the paper. So he's it's a one page letter they writes. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, he's great. You know, I just wish I'd run into him earlier because this thing used to spit out a lot more money previously. So, you know, I don't know if this. I have no idea if this could be his Waterloo, but, you know, I have faith in him being able to, you know, be able to right the ship, if you will. Like I said, this is with that $66 dividend they paid here back in 2010. That more than covered my cost of getting into the stock. So, you know, it's like I'll sit back and earn my 2.5%. Waiting for the next big trick. And
so one thing that would on the surface at least concern me is why is he paying a dividend when the company's not even making money?
He's the largest shareholder and where he pulls his money from.
Got it. Okay.
So it's I'm guessing it's sure it might be selfish, if you will, but he does have a lot of philanthropic ventures that he sits on the board of a number of charities in and around Los Angeles and Santa Monica. You know, he is, like I said, you know, he dropped about, I want to say approximately $120 million on that building for UCLA. So, you know, he is in the wrapping it up portion of his career here.
Right.
So, you know, he is dispersing money left and right. And I think that, you know, it's, you know, I don't think $5 a share is really a, you know, I can't really sit there and fault them for doing this. And I mean, it, like I said, the last 2 years, they've actually lost a little bit of money, but it's been profitable even in a tough environment that they've been in. So it's worth a look.
How much money were they making when they were profitable?
How much? I mean, one more time.
How much money were they making when they were profitable?
Like,
is there some way you can kind of normalize out the earnings and say, okay, I think over the next 5 years, this is probably what they'll be able to make?
It's tough to say just because they've moved in and out of industries so much. And yep. once they got in, moved, put all their chips into the reconserve business, it's really been somewhat of a nightmare for them. So, I mean, you know, just 2018, you're looking at sales and revenues about $200 million, roughly speaking. You know, so it trades for, you know, a slightly less than one time sales. But
do you think book value is then overstated?
I'd say book is probably understated. Just
really?
Because
why
of the
would
way
that be? I mean, you said that the company's been a disaster, right?
The market's been a disaster, if you will. I mean, he actually uses the word schizo.
Okay. But I'm saying if you wanted to sell that business today, I mean, you don't think – you think he would get more than what's on the books for?
I'd say so, yeah. Just because it's, you know, while, you know, he's been very aggressive in writing stuff down. You know, the factories, the 17 factories, I'm sure that, you know, what, 100, 180 million market cap could get more than 10 million per each one of these, a total of 18 factories. I bet you he could. Plus also, you know, he's a little, you know, I'd say he, you know, what's really behind the curtain, there's additional stuff that you just don't see in the annual report. And, you know, that's probably a larger reason why he, delisted from the annex is, you know, just having to share all the quote in his world, I'm sure it's quote unquote details. You know, much the same way Buffett is about a lot of the stuff that they have at, Berkshire Hathaway. You know, they break it down, but, you know, it's kind of a top level view. You know, you don't get to go behind the, you don't get to see behind the curtain as clearly as you might want to. So, okay. You know, it's, there is a whole, you know, he still has this is kind of my company, you know, majority shareholder. And I don't have to really show you everything. You're going to have to take my word for it. Yeah. For the last, you know, 58 years or so, and I've been a good steward of capital. And
what kind of annualized returns has he produced over the long term?
I'd say, offhand, I couldn't really tell you. I know that until about 5 years ago, it was well ahead of the market. Okay. You know, if you put it up against the S&P or the Dow Jones, I'm sure that you'd be until, you know, probably about like 2014 or so when they got into this business, you'd see something that, you know, produces, you know, that's well ahead of the market in general. Like I said, I bought into this long before that. But, you know, it's been somewhat flat over the last couple of years.
Okay, interesting. Anything else about it?
No, it's with a knock on wood here. Hopefully Meyer hangs in there for another 10 or 20 years and continues the run thing as well as he could. Because to be honest with you, if this was in someone else's hands, they probably would have just given up the ghost by now. But
then do you think his successor is going to blow it or?
No, I think Rita's been, you know, okay, learning at the knee of a master here for the last couple of years. And okay, like I said, he's been his right-hand man here for probably like, you know, a good 15 years, I think. So,
you mean his right-man hand.
Exactly.
They're a special kind of breed.
Exactly. Dyslexics untie. but yes, that being said, I do feel that this thing has some more room to go. Like I said, they're kind of a slave to the price of corn. Yep. And so, you know, be forewarned. But if, you know, corn subsidies decide to get pulled back and, you know, that's off the table.
Good luck. That's a very powerful lobby in Washington.
I was going to say very tough, but if that were to happen, who knows with the craziness that's going on in Washington right now, you could see farmers getting stepped on and who knows, this thing could really double or triple. That's just me guessing, but, they're well run, well operated, and, I have faith in them.
Interesting. All right. Well, Anthony, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
Sounds good. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.